Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Welcome, everyone. This is a very special session. This morning we have two sessions. The first around the environment, and the second with one of our most senior instructors, teachers, guides in the BK, Sister Shilu, and she's coming up from the other campus, Pandit Bhavan, to be with us. So it's a full morning, a good morning, and this afternoon we're walking to Bubba's Rock to watch the sun go down. It'd be amazing. So first let's begin with this. I think of them as our dynamic duo, because here is Sonja Olsen from Denmark and Golo Pils from Germany, and together they are kind of the super team who have created the BK Environment Initiative. So many years ago, in 2009, they both went to the to their first COP climate conference in Denmark, Copenhagen, where Sister Sonja lives. She's the coordinator of the Denmark service of the Brahmakumaris in Denmark. And they went to their first climate change conference. And people then wondered, what are meditators doing here? We're talking about carbon credits. And now, how many years later, they recognize, gosh, we actually need help with the way we think, to change behavior, to change our relationship with Mother Nature, to save the planet. So they are pioneers, taking consciousness into the climate conference world. Golo's been a meditator for more than 40 years, and he was the kind of brain behind all of the solar installations we see on campus, and it's huge. And Sonja manages all of the activities of the BK Environment Initiative, which is quite huge now in many countries. That's all I'm going to say so that they can have every precious moment to speak. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you and good morning. Thanks for the illustrious introduction. Most illustrious introduction. Maybe we can switch off a little bit some lights here. Yeah, wonderful. So we have half an hour time, and I will give you an overview on Brahmakumari's Environment Initiative and also our solar projects, which have been going on and have been installed, and we started almost 25 years ago in the area of solar. So first, a couple of brief introduction on the situation of our world, what is going on in climate change. And you know, the world is in a very tricky situation right now. We have wars, overpopulation, climate change, environmental problems, economic crisis, deepening social economic inequality, and pandemics. So the world is in a very tight spot, and you have learned here that we are in the Iron Age or the Kali Yuga. That's the age where all the karma pops up in the world. And if you see that list, you can probably agree that a lot of karma is there. In climate change, a little bit more in detail, the situation is very delicate right now. This year, for example, in India, we had horrible rains in North India, and Punjab, where the wheat chamber of India, got flooded, and thousands of farmers lost their livelihood, lost their farmland. And in Pakistan, the situation is even worse. So all around the world, we can see the effects of climate change. We're preparing for the next climate conference in Belém, in Brazil. And the outlook, the scientists are very alarmed. And we have rising temperatures, more storms, more forest fires, animal extinction. Health is affected of us humans. Heat cramps, heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and many diseases related to heat, more and worse droughts, rising sea level, and economic losses for the farmers and also for the insurance companies. In India, it's estimated that a couple of $100 million damage this year alone with a crop. And so everybody's a little bit concerned, and indeed, it's a very tight spot for humanity, because number of people is growing, our emissions are going up, and the trend at the moment is really not that good. So, but we have to stay all in all positive and optimistic, because if we're optimistic, this is our greatest, our crisis is our greatest chance actually for transformation. And if you are optimistic, you will find a good solution. I will come a little bit more in detail to that later, why it is so helpful to be optimistic. So the big question is, seeing these huge problems in the world, what can be done? Some people say, okay, I'm just sitting in my little corner and climate change and wars and all these problems won't hit me. Other people say, okay, let's do something. So here in Brahma Kumaris, you will find people who are having the later approach, we're doing something about it. So we can raise the awareness of people that we're in time of transition. We can also support action for clean technology, and actually the power for this program here and for the projector and the lights and all this, this comes from solar energy in this campus. And we can do a lot of good projects also which are beneficial for nature. And we also can practice intense meditation, and that brings a change to our mindset. So I will explain a little bit more in detail. Brahma Kumaris is since 2009 very active at the United Nations, and we are affiliated to the UN. Affiliation means we have to apply, we have to show our budgets, we have to show our finances, we have to declare the purpose, and after we're being scrutinized for 1 year, we are being affiliated, and then we can go officially to the UN conferences, not only on climate, but also on biodiversity, United Nations Environment Programme, against desertification, food summit, UN on water, and also for the oceans. I got a signal, I have to slow down. Good. So we are active in all these conferences, but the United Nations for Climate Change is the most prominent. It happens every year, and between 40 to 60,000 people come together at these conferences. And we are promoting an inner change or a change of mindset. So we try to inspire people to become a creator, a dreamer, a bridge builder, a strategist, and a visionary. And we have the 10 ways to change the world. Live simple, open your heart, become unlimited, and so on. I don't go too much in detail. You will find all this also on the internet on our webpage. So as I mentioned, here's our webpage. And as I mentioned, we go every year to the United Nations Climate Conference. And since many, many years, we are part of the interfaith community at the UN. Interfaith means from all religions, from all communities, spiritual communities, delegates are meeting at the UN Climate Conference. We are together. Sometimes we have even a faith pavilion. And we promote values, ethics, and an inner change, a change of people. And 80% of the world population are following one or another faith. So it's a very powerful community, very powerful group. And if faith community would unite, it would be a very powerful statement. So we gather, we have programs there, and we every year prepare a statement, and we urge the presidency and the negotiators for fast action to reduce emissions, adopt clean technology, provide funding for the transition to clean technology. So very, very active. This is our sister Valerian. Then we also do programs, we have an exhibition, but we also do press conference. Here you can see Sister Genti and Sister Maureen. Sister Genti is the head of the climate delegation. And in the press conference, we team up with other groups and organizations, and we give our statement, what is our position towards climate change and towards transformation. We also have a climate wisdom studio. This was from Baku. We had 750,000 viewers in this climate studio, and we're inviting activists, religious leaders, politicians, and YouTube stars. You should see a YouTube star. It's very interesting people, and they usually have a huge follower, group of followers now, and we interview them. What is your strategy? How you build up resilience, and how do you create hope for the future and for the people, which is very important. We also promote green lifestyle. Rethink before you buy anything. Nowadays, advertisement is very clever. Reuse as much as possible. Reduce your consumption. Recycle as much as possible. And refuse to follow all the fashion trends. So this is our 5 R's, which we're promoting in the conference. And we're preparing right now. And in our countdown is already going. And in 2 weeks, we will leave for Brazil, and totally we will be about 12 people, I think, in our delegation. Yeah, practical projects. We have a tree plantation program. We go into the villages in India, but also other places around the world. It's a global project. It's called Kalptaru, and we've planted more than 2.5 million trees. And we go into villages. We inspire the villages to plant trees, to adopt trees. We also have a rural wing and have adopted now a couple of villages which we're trying to bring in good governance, women's empowerment, plastic-free, organic farming, and so on, and so on, and so on. So we really try to bring also transformation in the rural sector. Brahma Kumaris has also started more than 20 years ago, actually 25 years ago, to go very deeply into the area of solar energy or renewable energies. Here you can see our Gyan Sarovar campus. Here's the hall we're sitting inside. And this was the original solar steam cooking system, which we got financed by the German government and was cooking our food for 25 years. And these dishes were concentrating the sunlight on the reflector. We got steam, and the steam was transferred to our kitchen. Now we have built a new system. You might have seen it on kitchen top. It's 200 kilowatt photovoltaic. We have big inverters, big battery bank, and we send the food into the kitchen, and we have induction cooking vessels. So most of the food is cooked by the power of sun. And right now, we're increasing our solar capacity, and by the end of the year we'll have totally 700 kilowatt photovoltaic, and we then will try to provide 100% to this campus. So it becomes a totally green campus after that time. We have also 5,000 meditation centers in India, and we have a green policy for those centers, so we try to inspire them to go green, avoid as much as possible plastic, go into waste segregation, and adopt clean technology. This is our Shantivan campus in Abu Road. Some of you might have seen, and on the way back, there's chance also that you can see it. And there we installed a major solar cooking system in 1999, and we installed also a lot of photovoltaic systems. This system is still operational, and we produce 3,500 kilograms steam and can cook maximum 35,000 meals a day. We also are able to cook for all these people, so you can imagine what a beautiful example this is. And this technology is easy and cheap and is available. Now I like to talk a bit about another project we did. We completed this project 8 years ago. It is India One. It is a 1 megawatt solar thermal power station, and it was financed by the German and the Indian government. The total budget was about $10 million. And what we did is we built these big dishes, totally 770 dishes, and these dishes are focusing the sunlight on the receiver. In the receiver, we generate high-pressure steam and sending this steam to the turbine house, which is here. In the turbine house is a 1 megawatt Siemens turbine, and we can store energy in the receivers for 24 hours. So this plant can run 24 hours. That's the specialty, to store solar energy overnight, because batteries are very costly. And there's a big race at the moment to find good and cheap storage for solar energy. Everybody wants to store the energy. Once that has been really found out and invented, then nothing can stop the transition to clean technology. So this is a very good project. We added here 1 megawatt of solar and here 200 kilowatt. And on the way back, if you have ticked it on your travel, on your taxi paper, you can visit this plant. It's 2 kilometers from our Shantivan campus. And on the side of the plant, we also have a new biogas plant. This biogas plant is running now since 1 year. And we're collecting the waste of our campuses, bring the waste down to Shantivan, and we segregate the waste in this hall and sell plastic, paper, cartoon, metal, we sell it, and glass. And all organic waste, we mix it with water and then send it into this biodigester, or it's also called a fermenter. Inside, that organic matter ferments and then it creates biogas, methane gas. And that gas runs a generator of 50 kilowatt for 8 hours. So this is a very beautiful example how to deal with your waste. And India has a big problem with waste, and many municipalities and people have come to us and they ask us, please, Brahma Kumaris, build such a plant for us. We help them and give them the design, but I mean, it's quite a lot of action to build such a plant. So you see, Brahma Kumaris is doing a lot of activities in the field of solar energy. And the big question is, technology is available, funds are available. What stops us? What actually stops us? It's also the need of the time. No? It's very urgent that we go into this technology. And it stops us. We lost the connection to our inner values, to our inner ethics, and to our inner nature. And because there is this disconnectedness, our actions are not proper anymore, and we harm the planet. I would like to introduce to you our Dadi Janki. Dadi Janki was the head of the Brahma Kumaris. She was 103 years, and she died in COVID. And she was a very beautiful example and a beautiful teacher and great inspiration to me. And Dadi once explained to me the law of karma. And the reason, also one of the reasons we cannot solve the problem of the world right now and also climate change, is we have accumulated a lot of karma in the past. So that karma is between us and the solution. And Dadi explained karma in a very nice way. She said there are 3 signs of karma which is on you or on the world community. Number one, you want to do something and it does not work out, it does not happen. I mean, it happens all the time. No? We want something, our bank account to triple, but it is only going downhill. Number two, suddenly something happens to us. That's also a sign of karma. And number three, you're suffering in interaction with relatives or friends. So these are the 3 signs that you have some karma. And climate change, environmental degradation, is basically a sign of old karma which is unresolved and which is coming back to us. And that's why we cannot just easily solve it with a conference or with technology or with money. And Dadi said the most profound and powerful way to resolve the old karma is regular meditation. In regular meditation, you actually connect to the divine being, to the light, and it changes and transforms you. And there's a lot of scientific evidence also on the power of meditation. They did the last 30 years research, and they found out if you meditate regular, you increase your social competence. You love yourself and you love others more. It's very helpful. And you also relax more, and your health also is improving. And very interesting is that meditation also helps you to increase brain cells and activities. Once you get older, you lose your keys, you forget your keys, you forget your mobile, and if it gets even worse, you forget where you parked your car. and then you know that you have to meditate and increase brain cells and activity. And that helps you to change habits and awareness. And that's what we all have to do. We have to change. Here is a very interesting picture which explains a little bit scientifically what happens when you meditate. We all have a field around us. Science can measure it now. It's ultra weak, but it can be measured. Here is a photography, Kilirian photography. It's a Russian guy. He found more than 30 years a camera which can actually record your aura and your energy field. And here are the different colors of your aura. And guess what it means if you are red aura. What does it mean? Angry. Yeah, everybody knows. Because we can sense it. So everybody has an aura, everybody has an energy field around us, and everybody radiates all the time power into the environment. And the world around us reacts. I would like to share with you some example to show how our thoughts and our emotion actually radiate into nature. This is yogic farming. This is one project of our rural wing. And we worked with 5,000 farmers in Gujarat, and we teach them meditation. Love your seeds, love your field, love your work, and have good intention. So what happened was very interesting. Here you see yogic carrots. You see, the yogic carrots are the biggest, the chemical are the smallest, and the organic are okay. But what is most interesting in the organic, in the yogic carrot, which are growing with love and compassion in the same field, same amount of water. In the yogi carrots, there is the highest nutritional value, highest number of vitamins, etc. So when you love what you are doing, you are helping that plants to grow. And they are even more nutritious. So here you see wheat with meditation, without meditation. And the government of India is now interested to work with us and roll out a program for the farmers in India to learn yogic farming, or we call it natural farming, and sort of give farmers a help to boost the yield and deal also with climate change. So what does it mean is our thoughts and our vision is actually connected to the world and is connected to reality. And that brings us to science, to physics, and quantum physics tells us our consciousness radiates energy into the world, and this energy is connected to the field, to the quantum field, and this quantum field is connected to reality. So the world as we see it and perceive it is a creation of us. And this actually changes and flips our understanding if we are powerful or powerless. If we understand that the vibration we create, the energy field around us, all the time radiates into nature, we can become a change maker. And we can become proactive. We can send love and compassion to nature. We can send love and compassion to people. And they receive that energy. And that energy has an effect, as you've seen from the plants. But there are many more examples. And Leonardo da Vinci said, realize everything is connected to everything else. Isn't that interesting? So we are actually quite powerful beings because our thoughts, our emotion, they're radiating out and all the time affecting the environment, the plants, but nature, but also the mind of other people. And this is the most powerful tool for self-transformation, but also for world transformation. So the mind, our thought is the driver. And the world is a mirror of our consciousness. So what we have to do is, we have to heal our heart, our emotions and our feelings. And our heart is always connected to our karma. And that comes back to Dadi Janki, and she said meditation is the most powerful tool because the Supreme Being, God, He never gets corrupted. His heart is always pure. So what we have to do is, we have to imagine our perfect world. And there was a very beautiful Beatles song. Who knows it? Imagine all the people. You know the song? Yeah, you must know it, no? So what we have to do, imagine our world in a perfect stage. And the most important ingredients of our emotion should be love. It is said love heals everything. If you love yourself, you love others, everything is all right. And it is said God's love is the most powerful. So meditation is the means, the way you open a channel to divine light, to divine energy. Then everything else will fall into place. You don't have to do too much. We don't have to worry any longer because we are under the umbrella of protection. And where is love, there is peace and harmony and beauty. And that's how we create a very powerful energy field and we start healing planet Earth. And we start healing the environment. So very, very interesting because science slowly, slowly finds that out. And Indian spirituality is telling us since thousands of years about it. So what we have to do is we all have to join hands. We all have to come together and together create this powerful energy field. And you probably in the meditations, you could feel that field and that energy. Sometimes how everything started glowing, became very powerful, very charged. And this is the field we have to create and we have to be permanent in that field and radiate it out. So I thank you very much for your attention. And if you want to have more information, we have some web pages, brahmakumaris.org, where you will find all informations about the Brahmakumaris environment. And Judy is lifting the brochure, which is there in front of the corner of the stage. You can pick it up. And I hope you understand that climate change is very serious. The world is in a very serious situation, but we are on the other side very, very powerful. We just have to transform our karma, radiate that energy of love and compassion into the world, and we are change makers, and we can become angels and heal the world. And this is a wonderful place here in Mount Abu where you all can be inspired and get an idea how that all is working. I'm now handing over to Sister Sonia and thank you very much.
So thank you very much, Golu, for a beautiful presentation. And I wanted to connect to that, but us doing a meditation together for planet Earth. You ready for that? Yeah? And we can take the last 5 minutes for questions and answers if you have any. So I'll ask you all to sit straight in your chairs and maybe we can have some soft music. Yeah. Maybe straighten up your back a bit and put the shoulders down and your neck straight. And put both feet stable on the ground. So start the meditation by relaxing the body. The legs and the arms. Relax the neck and the face. And send a few thoughts of gratitude for this wonderful body that Mother Earth has given me. We take a few deep breaths all the way to the bottom of your stomach. Thank you.
Now breathe deeply and relax. And when I breathe, I'm reminded of the fact I'm breathing the same air as everybody else on this planet. We are connected with the air. We also drink and eat food, all provided by Mother Earth. So send a few thoughts of gratitude for the resources that keeps the body alive. Now I will ask you to put your hands like this. You put the hands like this. And first of all, you put yourself in your hands. You imagine yourself, body and soul. And you're holding yourself very gently, very sweetly. And you give a lot of love and compassion to your own self that you're holding in your hands. You can be young or old, but you are embracing your own self. Encouraging yourself to continue with good spirit to whatever is in front of you. You're holding yourself with appreciation of who you are and of your journey through life. Can you feel how you relax and feel protected by your own self? You let God's love and shine reach you in your hands. Sit there for a while. Together with God, you're healing your own self, body and mind, body and soul. Slowly, you replace yourself with Mother Earth. So now you put Mother Earth in your hands. She's also round like your hands. You have the whole planet in your hand. The ocean, the mountains, the land, the trees, the animals. The lakes, the streams, the flowers. The whole planet is in your hand. And now we give love and compassion to Mother Earth and embrace her with gratitude and appreciation. And you see her in her most shiny and beautiful form, even though she has become a bit old. And you let God's power flow through you and reach Mother Earth in your hands. And you heal all the pain and suffering of humans, of animals, of nature. And you replace the pain and suffering with love and compassion. And I sit here holding the space for God, soul, and matter. And slowly we prepare to return back from the meditation. Take a deep breath. You can close your eyes. Put the hands down. You feel for a moment, how is it to be me right now? Whatever good feeling you have, you put it somewhere where you can find it again. And I say to myself, I can actually do this every day, isn't it? And I take another deep breath. And I say Om Shanti. Okay. Thank you very much for joining our Healing the Earth session. And we met some of you on the tour, on the welcoming tour. So I know some of you also work with the environment and are interested and do have many thoughts about the topic. But we have 5 minutes left for questions and answers. If you have any, then you can please come up and ask. Or any comment or suggestion.
And really, Hope, how many are planning to go visit the solar site on your way? Yeah, please, it's so worth it to see that and have the informal conversation. It's like a mini paradise down there. that's been created, as well as this beautiful technology. I want to say that was the finest presentation I've seen, Golo. So many times I've seen it. Some people ask about the plastic on campus.
Yeah. And they're quite concerned. You had a question also? She had? Yeah. Okay. First the plastic, Judy, and then her.
Because that's a concern for all of us to see so much plastic, you know? Good luck not answering that one.
Answer about the plastic on the campus.
Yeah, we're working on that, and it's tricky because on one side, so at least plastic bottles which we're using, they're collected and they're all being recycled. And to provide hygienic water after rainy season is very tricky. So that's a bit of a dilemma, and we're working reducing plastic.
Yeah, many elements coming together: cultural, hygiene, and environmental. So, yeah. Thank you for that. Did you have a different question? Or that was... No, you have a different question? Okay. Ms. Wei, do you want to say the question? Okay.
素晴らしいものですが、その後の寿命で、その後の始末っていうか、処分っていうか、ちょっとそこら辺をお伺いしたいなって思いました。
It's very good plan, but I want to ask, after, is it any, when does it expire? After any lifespan of the disease, and how do you deal with that after expiry?
Yeah, so the the what we do is whenever we build a solar project, we also think about the lifespan, and we also think about recycling of the components. So steel structure, and actually in India you can recycle very easily because all scrap material is being collected. So for example, when we have steel structure for the dishes, we scrap it, and it's being remelted. And when we have solar photovoltaic dishes, we can also sell them to the scrap person. So he dismantles them, takes the aluminum frame, melts the aluminum. The glass is also being recycled, and the copper cables are also recycled. So in India, most of the things are being recycled nowadays because it's a business. So lifespan of solar plates, approximately 20 years.
Wow, which is quite great. Yeah. Okay, one more question and then we'll have to close.
Yeah, we have
lifespan of batteries and the recycling.
We are using lead acid batteries, old fashioned batteries, and these batteries have a lifespan of 10 years. After 10 years, we refurbish them, so we get another 10 years. And after 20 years, we sell the lead to scrap, which is very good money because lead is very costly, and the plastic containers we use as flower pots.
Wonderful. That's great. Okay, let's go one more.
Motorbikes.
Motorbikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry, everything is recycled in India.
In India, everything's recycled.
Even old motorbikes, and India is the country of two-wheelers. What is very interesting, now more and more bikes are available electrical. So in India is a conversion at the moment. Government is promoting electric vehicles. So if you go in the big cities, you will see a lot of electric scooters now. They become very popular, and I'm riding since 5 years on an electric bicycle in Mount Abu. So the transition is happening. Yeah, we are now having new system that has lithium batteries, and we will wait the comparison between lead acid and lithium. Lithium is more costly but more compact, and you can cycle them much better. Lead acid is a bit more complicated. They take much more space and more maintenance. So after some time we will know. Yeah. We talk later about this because it becomes too complicated and we have...
A little bit technical, Oscar, but please ask Golo if you can go and talk after
and
this.
And the brochures they can collect if they like.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Honestly, I mean, they are a living expression of spirituality in action. So thank you to both of you very much, very much. Okay, everybody stand up, please. Sister Christine is going to move us through 5 minutes of silent Qigong.